I have always enjoyed the broadcast of State of Belief in the first week of a new year. This year in particular, I know I wasn't alone in my eagerness to turn the page on 2020. But I must tell you that as I sit down to talk with you today, I am filled with a mixture of sadness and anger. Never did I imagine that I would hear a president of the United States summon people to join him in launching a coup aimed at the destruction of the United States government as envisioned by our founders. Never did I think that I would see and hear members of Congress boldly speak and act in defiance of our Constitution. Time has passed, and I still have trouble believing what I saw and heard last Wednesday. Thugs filling the halls of Congress, down which I have walked so many times with a sense of awe and reverence. American terrorists raping justice and ripping apart the symbols of our democracy. I'm shaken. I'm shaken, but not to an extent that I cannot speak to you from the heart. It's predictable, but no less shocking, that even in the face of all of this, apologists have been out in force, spinning the facts, fabricating conspiracies, and spewing their grievances in social media and in nonpartisan forums such as C-SPAN. How else could poor, beleaguered white men make their voices heard? They wail. The level of selfishness reflected in this behavior, when all statistics show which groups are and have been discriminated against systematically and oppressed socially, economically, and physically, they are the groups for which, when they protest generations of outrageous systematic discrimination, cities prepare with massive firepower and militarized police. Peaceful marchers who face tear gas and brutal violence for making this excruciatingly obvious statement that their lives matter. Not so on Wednesday. Not so when rioters of a different skin tone come to spit on the legacy of our founders and subvert the workings of democracy. The defenses were down. Despite all that was said and written and reported well in advance, defenses were down. We cannot miss the direct line from Charlottesville, Virginia. The hateful chants, the frightening images, the synagogue surrounded by armed, menacing supremacists who acted with impunity, to the lawless so-called Trump trains disrupting traffic and even endangering a presidential candidate's campaign bus, to now this, the institutions of our democracy itself under siege. All because patronizing lies are more palatable than inconvenient truths. I wonder what my friend Walter Cronkite would have said Wednesday night, were he still alive and still anchoring the news as the most trusted man in America, how he would have reported on this latest betrayal of the dream of E Pluribus Unum. You know, I have a feeling he would have found the words that his immortal sign-off, and that's the way it is, would have demanded. The journalist who knew the level of mendacity and political scheming that fueled the Vietnam War, who took off his glasses to somberly inform the nation that President John F. Kennedy had been assassinated in the streets of our nation, who had to repeat that grim task when the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was brutally taken from us, I have a feeling that Walter Cronkite would have found words that conveyed both the crisis and the context. Because whatever we thought America was, those dark moments forced a reevaluation, and for many, a recommitment to the fragile notion of liberty and justice for all. Wednesday was a dark day, but not unpredictable. Culmination of 4 years of lies and hate mongering. The searing images of powerful lawmakers cowering under their desks was a logical outcome of too many betraying their vows to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, of thinking that winning elections at all costs was a form of winning at all. Don't be distracted by the apologists, the yes-but gaslighters, and the purveyors of lies about the incoming administration. When a prominent person, be they politician, journalist, or quasi-religious leader, smear Joe Biden or Kamala Harris with obvious untruths, that is un-American. It is evil. It's not quote-unquote just politics. We see now, if we didn't before, that it is literally blood sport. And listen, I know how this works. There are videos online of State of Belief interviews where in the public comments you will find vicious verbal attacks on the guests, condemnation of kindness and inclusivity as an attack on God. Well, you'll even see your host labeled as the Antichrist. So when that kind of venom can be triggered by our little radio program, imagine what days, months, and years of unfettered lies and focus group-tested provocations can do. Well, we don't have to imagine anymore. But speaking of lies, it's essential to notice that no matter the level of hateful smears directed at the Reverend Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff in Georgia, no matter the level of ridicule nor the depravity of dishonest fear-mongering, it didn't work. Somehow, Georgia voters did not succumb to the charges that Democrats want to kill all babies, impose Sharia law, and force gay marriage on their children. They did not give in to outlandish propaganda painting two mainstream Americans as socialist extremists. The lies did not work. It was close, but they didn't work. And that should be a source of hope for all of us, regardless of political party or religious affiliation. For years, when I've talked to you about the deepening divisions in our nation, I've both pointed fingers at where I saw efforts to deepen that divide and emphasize the importance of talking, meeting, and connecting across it. Today, I recognize that may be more difficult than ever, and yet it continues to be the only hope this nation has for any kind of future. We see yet more proof, as if any were needed, of just how fragile this union is, and of just how incredible the achievement of its birth truly was. Humans did that. Patriots did that, across lines of division and dissent and disagreement. It is still possible that we will not squander that incredible legacy, that priceless gift. but it is barely likely at this point. All I can suggest, standing on this threshold of a new year already marred by blood and insurrection, is to do everything you can. If you pray, then pray for those you disagree with the most, as well as those who agree. Organize, volunteer, connect, become the kind of citizen this nation needs the most. And in the name of all that is good, tell the truth. It's not just politics, friends. What we say and do determines who we are. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be a part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.